Today, baby, it's cold outside. It's winter and it's damn cold and my batteries are dead. Well, next on Live Free and Ham, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our weekly show where we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. And we're thrilled to have you here, whether you're a regular listener or tuning in for the first time. And we appreciate your thanks and for joining this episode. So let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-hosts of the night,
Paul, N1OG.
And Todd, W1STJ.
All right, cool. Well, hey, as usual, we're going to get into our usual updates here before we get into the show material here. So as always, you can always head over to our storefront at livefreeandham.com/shop. Check out all of our new merch. We've got our LFH sticker pack, my friend. Man, I'm a little punchy today. Available in the store. And so if you haven't headed over there, you can pick up a set. It's got mine, Todd's, Paul's, and obviously the Live Free and Ham stickers that everyone covets. But from what I hear, he's also updated his Grouch sticker. So he's got some new ones that, are available. But that means some of the original OGs are still out there and ready to be able to get in your, laptop or bag or wherever you decide to sticker the crap out of stuff. And so those are available. So make sure you head over and pick one up. But I think, obviously, once those run out, we'll be able to restock those with his new ones. And if you say please, we might throw in one of his new ones too. You never know. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, so as always, we love feedback. And with that, we got a couple of ways you can reach out to us. As always, our favorite method is via SMS. This is Todd's, one link to the world. He wants to hear from you. And that is the best way. You can always just head over into our show notes. If you're a podcast listener or even on our YouTube channel and click the link that allows you to send a quick text message to us to say hello, and we'll happily share it in our next episode. You can always leave us a voicemail, and those lines are open 24/7, and that number can be reached any time of the day, year-round, 365 at 978-233-1142, and as our slogan always says, call us for a good time. It's just simple. It's a good time,
And N1JR, you answer the phone live, right?
Yeah.
24 hours, 3 in the morning.
Yep. Yeah, that's me.
You'll get Eric live.
And I answer it, and then I forward it to Paul, then Paul forwards it to you, and then you forward it back to the voicemail. So it just kind of does, the full circle there. So we're a, follow the sun help desk. Whatever that means. All right. Well, hey, you can always reach out to us again by 978-233-1142. Tell us, share anything with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can always, tell us how bad we are, and, or you could just leave a typical, voicemail, whatever, your choice. I'll leave it up to you. And as always, we have the last method. You can send us an email at livefreeandham. At gmail.com, and we'll be glad to read it on the next show. So as always, we are in the month of February now, and every month we always have, in addition to our regular episodes, a live stream. We never know when we're going to have it, because in essence, we don't. We have to just wait till the last minute. We figure out what we have, and we just kind of go with it. So the best way to know and be in the know is to head over to our YouTube channel. Click the subscribe and ring that bell, notification bell. That way you get notified anytime we go live, and you can come be part of the fun and hang out with us. And we'd love to have you. There we go. I feel like I'm about to give
it. And it's also a short month. We only have a...
Oh, yeah. Dude.
What, 20-something days?
Yeah, what was it? 3,526 days of January? Is that what I counted? Yeah, I think it was close to that. It felt like that. and always, our favorite method is that if you love to be in the know and you want to be part of the cool club, our little secret is that head over to our Patreon page and you can become a subscriber. And at that point, you can hear all of the banter behind us in the background. We record all of our shows live, and we post them in our Patreon for folks in the raw version. So you get to hear everything that we talk about even before we start up the show. Among a bunch of other great things that we also do, and you can pick up all of that by becoming a Patreon member. So with that, we have our usual segment And that is, if I can key up the cue.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Everybody, we got some news.
Slow down, Boog. Let me handle this. We've got some news. I've got bad news and bad news.
I have reviewed ship's personnel, Captain.
Congratulations, you've got mail.
Well, I hope so, because I think we've reached deep down in the mailbag there, scraped the bottom. Did we come up with anything this week, Mr. Todd?
Yes, we've got a call sign, KB1GIY, Sean, and he says, hey, discovered the YouTube show. Nice job getting going, Live Free. Nice job getting it going, live on the North Shore in Mass. It's good to have a local show. Tried to hit the 146.685 Bedford repeater. That's the N1QC repeater, our club repeater, from the home QTH. Just out of reach. I can hear it scratchy. Keep it going, Sean. So thanks, Sean. Appreciate the little note. And sorry you can't hit our repeater. We're working on that, though. We're at least Eric and I, and I think Paul's on board, too, and some of us, we want to get a bigger footprint for our repeater. And he's on it sometimes, not that often. Eric and I want it on. We need a bigger footprint.
Yeah.
So we're working on it, so maybe we'll have it someday, but we'll be sure to let you guys know.
Totally. Yep. Then again, thank you, Sean, for sending us an email from our website. And as always, you know, you can send us an SMS notification. You can use our 24/7 voicemail phone number there to leave us a voicemail, or you can, like Sean did, send us in using a contact form on our website at livefreeandham.com/contact. And we will gladly read it on our next episode. So again, thanks, Sean, for sending us some feedback. We appreciate you, and thanks for being a listener and a subscriber. All right,
can you play the voicemail we got?
I am not queued up for the voicemail. However, the town of Hamilton wants us to.
All right, hold on, I'll try to do it on my phone. Hold on a second. We'll see if this works. You got to hear this. I think these guys are listening to us.
The town of Hamilton.
Due to the forecasted snow event, there will be a winter parking ban in effect tonight, Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. until further notice. During this time, no on-street parking is allowed. Thank you from the town of Hamilton, DPW.
Well, we thank you, the town of Hamilton.
Look at that. The DPW is listening to Live Free and Ham and letting us know, don't be parking on their streets.
Yep.
So thank you for that.
There you go, my friends. It's better than all the spam.
We get everything on the voicemail.
Great. You know what you have. You've inspired our listeners to actually want to actually come up with creative ways to leave us messages about their Viagra, you know, prescriptions being not filled. And, you know.
Yeah, the more the merrier. That'd be awesome.
You heard it. Todd laid down the gauntlet there. Bring it on, my friends. Bring it on. All right, cool. Well, we appreciate everybody who has submitted us some feedback. We always love it, and we always love to hear from you guys. So, like Todd said, just bring it on, my friends. Bring it on. Bring it on. You know, we're always excited. So, cool. All right. Well, with that, let's kick it off to the next step here.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
All right. Well, we all aspire to do good in ham radio. So whether you might be assisting in a disaster, providing communications for a local road race, or hosting a POTA meetup, you know, we all love to participate in those ham radio activities. So, you know, we always want to hear those types of activities when you're doing good. And, you know, we don't want to provide a platform where negative voices can overshadow all of that enjoyment, you know? So I'm going to raise my fist and say, bring on the good deeds. You know, you can share your story with us. And, you know, that story can be anything from, you know, sharing your first ham radio experience with a total stranger, you know, maybe while you were activating a park, teaching a student, a family member, or a neighbor about the joys of ham radio, or maybe you got to demonstrate to a new technician the thrills of HF at field day. Then we want to hear about it. So we are blessed tonight to say that we got another do good from our best bud, Carlos, K9, KN9OL. He sent another one to us, and this one kind of goes. This is another local club, he says, from the Hoosier Lakes Radio Club. They've started a class for the Boy Scouts in the area to get their amateur radio merit badge, which is pretty cool. I am an Eagle Scout myself, so I remember getting my radio merit badge. It was never called amateur radio. It's even cooler that it's actually amateur radio. And they hold a class on Saturday morning and follow it up by setting up their club station, hunting POTA for the scouts that receive their badge. I swear, there should be a POTA merit badge. That would be freaking hard. They should work their kilo. They should have to get 1,000 contacts to be able to get the POTA merit badge. And, you know, as he says, since they don't have a call, the club president and vice president set up a station and act as control station operators while coaching these kids and making a live contact. So we say, Carlos, good job. That is awesome to hear that there are clubs out there that are doing awesome things like this. And we say, keep it going, guys. This is what we want to do to promote the hobby and just really see some cool stuff happening, both with the, you know, Boy Scouts and youth in general, because like we all know, I mean, they are our future. So if we're not helping them out, we're not encouraging them, and we're not planting seeds, then we're doing a disservice to keeping the hobby alive and well for the future. All right. So with that, you know, you can always, when it comes to this stuff, do good. You can share it with three ways. You can leave us a voicemail as always, as Paul is scrolling across the bottom of our screen here. If you're watching the live stream, if you're watching our YouTube channel, my gosh, you can always leave us a voicemail at 978-233-1142. My gosh, I'm really punchy tonight. Or you can head over to livefreeandham.com/do good, all one word. Use that form, fill it out, and we will read it on our next episode. And with that, you know, if you're also one of those dedicated type A people, you know, and you think you can do this, you can send Paul, N1OG, a WinLink email. And if he reads it, and it has to be, we want it, you know, we don't mind if it's telnet, but in essence, we want it RF to RF. Come on, you know, you show your HF prowess, you know, show your, you know, your ham radio skills, send it RF to RF, and we will make sure that we invite you on one of our next live streams. You know, we'll share your experience on our next show as well, as, and we'll reach out to you then. So, you know, there's the challenge. There's the options. Please come, you know, bring it on. That's what we want to see. Whew. All right, man. I feel rusty today. I don't know what it is. We take a little time off and I'm, you know, super punchy and way off course and just falling apart, my friends. Someone take the mic away from me. All right. Well, the next one, we are going to go to our favorite little segment. That is always a blast to do here.
A little something extra with Todd, W1STJ.
All right. Well, as always, you've heard it here. This is where we help Todd, W1STJ, study for his extra class license. Yes. And
yeah, we shouldn't have taken a break. I haven't been studying much.
Oh, good. Then I don't feel so bad that we're all, you know, in the same boat here. So if this is your first time watching us, you know, or listening to us, in each episode, we always pick three questions from the extra class question pool to test his knowledge, hoping he gets his upgrade, you know. And if you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org. It's a great resource to help prepare. Listen.
This is like the best part of the show. This is why people watch.
Oh, really? So this is it. Everything else is downhill.
Without this, no one is even tuning in.
Well, you've heard it here, folks. Apparently,
it's in your best interest to have me not get my extra and keep studying.
You heard it here, folks. Sabotage Todd. That's all the plan is. Send them wrong questions, pool. You know, you figure out how to do it. So, if always, you can follow along and head over to hamstudy.org. It's a great resource to help you prepare for tests, and it's recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteer examiners because, again, we all know the ARL is just not responding. So, you know, that's just the way it goes, man.
Hey, listen, I just want to let you guys know. So one of the guys in my flying club wants to do legit and wants to get his technician license. And because you need to have a technician license to do the FPV stuff, which I've talked about in the past. So he asked me, he goes, well, how do I get that? Like, what can I study? And I gave him the ham study. I said, you got to go to ham study and get this. I go, I don't know how much it costs, some money, I think, but just pay it and do it. And that's how you get it.
All free, my friend.
What about on the free. What about on the app? I think the app
the app
on the phone. Okay, yeah, that's what he wanted. I said, just pay the freaking whatever it is, the $5 or whatever.
One time.
And study. So I saw him today and I said, have you been studying? And he was, no, I got the app though.
Good.
I said, all right, well, let's get studying there, big guy.
Just don't do the N1JUR attitude of forcing you, being a pest every single day of your entire life. You know, dude, be a little more gentler.
I'm just going to start razzing him, saying you still haven't gotten that test. That's the entry level there yet. His name's Jazz. Like, come on,
you're
dude.
A loser.
Get on this.
Jazz, you've heard it here, my friend. So, all right, without further ado, let's put Todd's toes to the fire. And hand it over to our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, N1OG.
All right, Todd. So I almost just went with like the whole pool. Woo. And give me anything random. But I know you haven't gotten to 8, 9, and 10 yet. So we'll stick with 7.
Okay.
So question number 1 for the evening. What is microphonic? Is it A, excess loading of the microphone by an oscillator. See, Eric, I'm see, doing
exactly.
It too.
It's contagious.
Is it B, an IC used for amplifying microphone signals? C, distortion caused by RF pickup on the microphone cable? Or D, changes in an oscillator frequency caused by mechanical vibration?
Stereophonic.
I'm going to go with, I need my music.
Yeah, your music is keying cued. What a crutch.
We all know Todd can't think without the music.
What a crutch.
Where is it?
It's there. You don't hear it?
I don't hear it.
No. Oh, you hear it? Bloody hell. Why is it not playing? Why not? All right.
Well,
all right. Just answer the question.
Exactly.
Right, I'm going to, I think it's B, ICUs for amplifying microphone signals.
That's all right. Eric, do you concur?
I'm going to go with C.
All right. So B is definitely incorrect. And I knew that. C is also incorrect.
Is it A?
Nope.
Oh!
It's D. Damn. Changes in oscillator frequency caused by mechanical vibration. So microphonics, or microphony, describes the phenomenon wherein certain components in electronic devices transform mechanical vibrations into an undesired electrical signal, aka noise. The term comes from an analogy with a microphone, which is intentionally designed to convert vibrations into electrical signals. In the case of oscillator frequency, this mechanical vibration can sometimes cause interference.
Roger, roger.
What's the test tip?
There you go. What's all right.
What's the test tip?
I
couldn't read that.
Oh, test tip is the only answer without microphone in it.
So that's difficult. A good one.
Wow.
All right. Question number 2. How does a switch mode voltage regulator work? Is it A, by alternating the output between positive and negative voltages? B, by varying the duty cycle of pulses input to a filter? C, by switching between two Zener diode reference voltages? Or D, by varying the conductivity of a pass element?
Ooh.
I'm going to go with A.
Yeah. Mic switch mode voltage. I'm going to go with B.
All right. So Todd said A, correct?
Yes, he did, I think.
Todd?
Yes.
Don't.
Okay, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Eric said B.
I'm right. Wow.
And B. Woo-hoo. Is correct. varying the duty cycle of pulses input to a filter. So, the explanation, a switch mode voltage regulator switches the source voltage on and off in varying amounts of time. The amount of time it is on versus off is known as the duty cycle. You are then left with a pulsating voltage. So a filter is used to smooth it out.
Very good, okay. Eric.
All right.
All right, so you're 0 for 2, both of you.
No, he got it right.
I got it.
Although, great right. Yeah, job! Yeah, okay.
Good job, Eric.
Is the audio going through now?
Todd is 0 for 2. Okay. All right, the third and final question of the evening. Which of the following is most frequently used as a bandpass or notch filter in VHF and UHF transceivers? Is it A helical filter?
Swinging choke.
B,
why are you laughing? Why are you swinging laughing?
Swinging choke.
A what?
The swinging choke. Whatever. What the hell's a swinging choke?
Oh,
that's what you do to Bart Simpson when he's not listening.
Sorry. Anyway,
all right,
back on track.
Okay, a helical filter, B, a finite impulse response filter, C, a Salen key filter, or D, a swinging choke filter.
My favorite.
Oh, here's the music.
Yeah, I figured it out now. Damn body open.
All right, I'm going to go with B.
I'm just going to go with a swinging choke. It's just cool to say.
All right.
Oh, is it D?
It should be.
Oh!
It is not.
It's a helical filter. That would make sense. That would totally make sense.
So, the most common... frequently used filter as a bandpass or notch filter in VHF and UHF transceivers is a helical filter. Helical filters are commonly used in radio frequency applications for their ability to pass a range of frequencies while rejecting frequencies outside of the desired band. They're particularly useful in VHF and UHF transceivers, which operate at high frequencies. So for your hint, VHF, UHF, the HF is helical filter. And so there you go.
Sure. There you go.
I got to start studying again. I've never even saw that.
Suck. Suck. Suck.
Well, where do you go? So what? Eric got one right and you got none.
Yep. So you can't play the song.
There we go.
So it's a win-win for me.
But I'll give you the loser noise.
Oh well, that is what it is. But you know, I still like my swinging filter,
swinging choke.
Oh man! So if you're on the journey to study for your technician general or extra class license with a swinging choke, in that case, hamstudy.org is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And so if you've also recently received your license or maybe an upgrade, you know, we want to know. So we'd like to recognize you on the next episode for all your hard work and effort. So email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com, post it on our Discord, send us an email, send us a voicemail. Heck, why not? Do that. That'd be awesome. We'll share it on our next episode and we'll make sure we mention you as always, because we want to, you know, make sure that all your hard work and effort pays off, and it definitely will in spades, because we want to recognize you and, you know, make you welcome to the part of the hobby. It's really cool. So, all right. Whew. Wow. We've made it through this far, guys. As Todd says, it's all downhill here for now. You know, we're done.
This is where everyone just signs right off. They like, they wait to the...
Todd's been,
I looked at the stats. That's what it says.
Todd's been studying the stats. We just drop off now and forget about this. So everybody else, just, you know, you can sign off. Don't bother listening to the rest of the podcast at this point. You're not going to learn anything more. So, all right. Well, in our usual formats that we always do that nobody listens to, what's been good on your ham radio week, Paul?
Well, so I haven't played a lot of ham radio this week. However, that doesn't mean that my radio was not ham radio related, or my week was not ham radio related. Yeah, yeah, I'm doing
it. Your radio
it.
Yeah. is not ham radio related. Okay, there.
So I actually I was on Reddit today, and
great place to be.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been like a Letterkenny intro.
Yep,
I was on Reddit today. But so I was on the amateur radio Reddit, and this person had said, "Hey, listen, I'm interested in ham radio, but I really just I don't understand the exam process. I don't understand, you know, well, why am I seeing so many people are saying, well, you should do tech in general at the same time?" And, you know, he's like, I just really don't understand. And so I had thrown a comment on and I said, hey, I said, you know, the thing is it's a license to learn. It's a license to learn. It's a license to practice. It's a license to experiment. As a ham radio operator, one of the things that covers us under our license is the ability to build our own and modify our own gear, right? And so there needs to be a certain level of foundational knowledge that comes with that. And so I think that's kind of, you know, where the exams come in, is they're making sure that at the very minimum, you have a little bit of an understanding of how things work and how it's supposed to work, so that when things aren't working right, you have an idea. But he requested to send me a private message, and he said, "Hey, you know, I apologize, you know, but like, if it's okay, I'd like if we could talk about, you know, a couple questions that I have." And I spent probably about an hour and a half today, just going back and forth with this young person and saying, you know, "Hey, listen, you know, this is my take on things." And he was very, very apprehensive just about the exam process in itself. And I said, "Look, you know, the tech in general, it's really foundational knowledge. I can 100% understand if you don't want to go for your extra, because that is a whole separate can of worms." But I said, "You know, dude, I've been in test sessions where, you know, an 8-year-old has passed their tech in general. I was in a test session where a 12-year-old did all three in one go." And I mean, that's phenomenal, right? But the point that I was trying to make with this young person that was asking me questions is, you don't have to understand all of the information, right? It's an exam, and the exam will give you the basics. And once you pass, then you get to put your hands on and you get to actually do the learning. You know, I said, "Listen, if kids can do it, you can do it. Don't stress about it. Just, you know, learn the answers to the questions, and the terminology will start to become familiar to you. The things that, you know, are a little bit harder to understand, like figuring out, you know, dipole lengths. Well, yeah, all right. Write down those frequency formulas, you know, write down what the Q codes are, write down, you know, what an RST is, you know, that way when you write things down like that you're having a hard time with, it stores that information in a different part of your brain, which makes it a little bit easier on the recall."
Right.
But so, yeah, so for anybody out there that is, you know, ham curious, you know, but maybe, you know, a little bit put off by the exam process and the license fees and whatever, don't let that be a deterrent, because it truly is a license to learn and experiment and play around in this hobby. And it is a hobby of a million hobbies. Totally. So there is something for everybody to explore. But so, you know, anyways, long story short here, right? My ham radio week was mostly just the kind of offering advice and guidance to people looking to get into the hobby.
Ooh.
And so that was it.
That, you know, that scores aces in my book, as they say. And, you know, I'm totally, you know, psyched to hear that, you know, you had that conversation and you didn't put on your grouch hat and scare him away. Yeah, not that Paul is a grouchy guy. I mean, he is, but he's not grouchy to other people that want to get
him. We don't want you.
Yes, no, you'll never hear that from Paul when it comes to someone learning their, you know, to get their ham radio license or have a desire. So, you know, kudos, man. That warms my heart. That's good stuff. So awesome. I don't care if you made, you know, 50 other DGX contacts beyond that. Just the one contact with that person. Hopefully they get their license. You know, keep us updated because I'd love to hear, you know, whether or not he actually or she gets further. All right. Well, with the next one, how is your ham radio week, Mr. Todd?
Not too exciting.
How are your frozen fingers?
Yeah. I'm recruiting on both ends. So while I'm at the Frozen Fingers, which is our frozen annual event, today was freaking cold. It was -9 this morning when I left. And when I got there to unpack the car, it was 1 degree.
Well,
thank God it wasn't windy. Oh, yeah. Toasty warm. It was truly frozen. But yeah, it was a good event. But while I'm there, I talk to the guys a lot about ham radio. And then on the net today, I run it on Sundays right before we do this recording. And I had told them, like, what did you do for today? And I said, oh, I froze my ass off at the Frozen Fingers. As Paul laughed the day before, he goes, you're really going to be frozen. And I didn't even realize it was going to be that cold. I thought it was warming up.
Nope.
I was like, what's he talking about? Anyway, but yeah, a couple guys from our club on our net, Steve, who lives down the road from me, he actually flies, but he's not part of a club.
Oh, wow.
So he flies over on Joppa Hill, which is a big sporting field in Bedford. And I was like, really? And then another guy flew some stuff when he was a kid. And I think it was Mike. Is it URG?
Yep.
KC1URG?
Yep.
Mike, is that his call sign? Mm-hmm. And he said he's flying. He wanted to get into it. So trying to recruit the ham radio guys. I already got Russell in there. He's a member of our flying club. So my goal is to get as many people flying RC planes and doing ham radio at the same time.
you got to do the reverse now. So for everyone you get into the RC hobby, you got to actually have one come back. That's a ham radio operator.
Well, I told you Yaz is taking the extra,
technician.
What's the technician test. So, or he's studying, or he's supposed to be studying for.
Yeah, cool.
So
now the big downside to your planes though, Todd, is you can't jump out of them.
No,
you can try. I don't know if it'll work well, but
listen, I could probably get someone who has a big enough one that could probably fly you up in the air and dump you out of it if you really wanted to.
They'll be happy to push you out.
I don't know. All I know is, like, we talk about Paul jumping out of airplanes, and it's every time we talk about it, my social media just fills out with people jumping out of airplanes.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm telling you,
it's crazy. And then I saw this AI thing, and I didn't at first. I was like, it was like an army video, and all these dogs are jumping out, like getting pushed off this airplane and parachuting like by themselves. And I just thought of Watson. I'm like, there goes Watson, you know, Paul and Watson. Come on, boy. Man,
that's video gold right there.
Yeah, but I haven't done much HF. You know, I did on field day, and I had a great field day, and I enjoyed Watson was off his he was off duty on the second day, so he got to jump up on me and give me a hug and hang out with me. So he's a good boy.
Very cool.
But yeah, so that was basically it. I've been on the repeater going to and from work, talking to different people, which is always good. And Tim, KC1QDK, he's been doing some crossband repeat.
Yep.
So I got him the other morning when he was at work.
Yeah.
And he left his – did you get him
I
too?
I did, yeah. I was surprised.
And he had the radio on in his car, and he crossband repeated it. And he was sitting at his desk, which he can normally get, and we were able to talk to him. So that was kind of cool. And then today, on the way back home, he was ice fishing with his buddy in Hudson. And I don't know if his buddy's a ham or not, but somehow he crossed. So he did it to his car again.
Yeah, he did.
The crossband repeat. So I was talking to him, and he was on the ice, and he caught a nice pickerel. Sent me a picture of it. So he goes, I'll send you a picture if the flag goes. If the flag goes down, I'll send you. And then right before the net, he sent me this picture of this beautiful fish. Yep. I was like, damn, buddy, that's a nice one. So he was on the net tonight, and he was all excited that normally Kim, his wife, she's also a ham, catches always the bigger fish than him. So he says, this is my day today. Mm-hmm. So he was psyched that he got the bigger fish.
Nice fish.
So, Eric, what'd you do this week?
Hold on.
Hey,
what? Hold on.
I know you want to say
hold on. Go. Because Todd, what? you missed something very important. Mm-hmm. How many videos did you put out this week?
I know. It's a record.
Oh, yeah. That's ham radio, too. Yeah. All right.
Two.
I did two videos, two diary videos. Yep. I had a third one, but I recorded it and it was connected to my car. And for some reason, the audio doesn't work. I can't hear anything.
Welcome to the club.
So I have to unplug it. So I learned, right? Yep. So I did another one and I did that one. But I have a third one from today, the Frozen Fingers. And I was able to, it's a little bit longer. It's about 15 minutes, but it's editing a little bit about before when I got there. Once I was there, pictures, videos of helicopters and people flying, and then kind of driving back kind of down. So I'm going to touch it up just a little bit, but I did some editing on the very basic iMovie on my phone while Zach was doing his batting practice.
Well,
so once I get my MacBook,
it's been a long time coming. But we're glad.
Once I get my MacBook, I'm going to be, and I learn how to edit videos. I like doing it actually. Good. So I even found out, I went on iMovie and I was like, holy, where are all these? Like, I forgot I did these videos like from a long time ago, nothing to do with ham radio. So yeah, cool. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, they were great videos.
So yeah, there'll be more coming.
Yep.
I think I'm going to just do the driving thing as much as I can, because that's really the only time I can talk and not be bothered.
Well, I got to truly ask though, like, how did it feel to actually have comments? Because I texted you, I said, dude, you got a couple of comments on the Liffrey and Ham, and you're like, oh, and he responded. So.
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah, I did. I responded to him, and I'm going to respond to him. You know, it was cool. So I think you guys will like the flying one, because it's got this guy. I don't even know who he was. He flew this helicopter, and he, you know, some of these guys fly these helicopters and they're out of control and they're upside down, or they're crazy, and they just look like, this guy flew a lot of aerobatics but very smooth, and he was foreign. I don't know where he was from, but he did it sitting in a chair. He's got like one of those
warm,
like,
chair,
those little beach chairs, and he's just sitting there, and it was a gasser, and he actually, it's on the video, he pulls it with he has a lawnmower, and the thing starts, and he goes back, he sits in his chair, and he just flies it around. It's awesome.
So that's coming?
Yeah, so that'll be coming this week. I just want to finish up a little bit more editing. Since it's the first one I'm editing, I figured I'll play around with it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Eric, now that we've talked about my videos,
well,
I know you've had a few videos in there too, but how's your ham radio week?
So just to kind of segue for those that don't know what we're talking about, over here at the Live Free and Ham channel, we all decided that this year we are going to kind of put more, we'll say personalized kind of content. It could be ham or ham adjacent or not ham at all, you know, and the idea is, you know, hey, we want you guys to know more about our lives, and, you know, we want to share our lives with you and all the stuff that we do and we enjoy doing. I mean, I posted a couple of videos that Todd, you know, is alluding to that, you know, one was a ham related signal stick. I got finally after 4 years, I got off my butt and I bought a signal stick, you know, and the attachments. So, you know, I'm now part of the family, and B and C, mind you. So, you know, we all can interchange our antennas until we, you know, the cows come home. So all good there. And, you know, I did a couple of videos. I just released my wife and I and the dog went to Maine just after, you know, we just got hit with snow here in New England. So, of course, my wife's like, really? I got to go to the beach. So we went to the beach. So, you know, we're sitting on the beach. We're the only two idiots that put, you know, beach chairs out on the beach, walked the dog for like, you know, 500 yards, and then came back and sat on the beach. So, you know, you can check that video out.
How cold was it?
Oh, freaking cold. It's utterly like, yeah, I sit there and I'm like, yeah, my wife was like, oh, we're going to spend 2 hours here. And I said in the back of my head, we're going to spend 20 minutes here because you are not dressed for 2 hours worth of cold. And so, yeah, the dog sat there. The dog was so damn cold, he ended up actually having to be wrapped in the blanket that I had brought for me. So that's how freaking cold it was.
So, we know the hierarchy in that family.
Totally. The dog will run.
Back on dog.
Exactly, man. Kids, I'm the last Eric. One. Maybe the second last one. So, yeah. So, yeah, we've been putting out videos. So, you know, if you haven't checked those out, we'd love to have you, you know, be part of that. Come check us out. We're putting them out, you know, kind of on a random basis. So, Paul and I and Todd are all just, you know, sharing our lives with you guys. So, hopefully, you guys are enjoying it. And I know we're having fun doing it outside of all the other stuff we do for Liver and Ham. So, all good stuff. So, to get back to
Wait till I start coaching.
Oh boy, that one. I am going to record I'm going to be the spectator version, and we're just going to merge it in just to see.
Well, listen, I guess I did agree. So in the fall was like the first time, like I was in charge. I coached the team, right? Well, I think I did a decent job because I've got all these people signing up. So far we have 17 people and half of them have requested me personally to be on their team. I'm like, I can't have every kid on that wants that I coached. Like there's another team. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a good feeling, but it's still good that these kids are coming back and they had fun in the fall. Cause you know, the rest of the season, summer and spring, we didn't have that much fun. So they ended up strong and we're going to have fun this year. And I got a couple of young kids, this kid Wyatt, who last time I coached him, he was 8. I think he's 10 now. This kid I watched him today at the clinic and they were doing pitching. He's going to be on my team. His dad requested, he goes, you have to have Wyatt on your team. I said, oh yeah, I want Wyatt.
Those coaches.
and this kid, man, he was throwing heat. I'm like, damn, Wyatt. I'm like, I don't think you're going to be able to pitch in the majors. And he looked at me, he goes, why? I'm like, you weren't throwing that hard. The kid was throwing as hard as Zach. Mm-hmm. He's 2 years younger than him.
What happened, so, man? What happened?
I'm pretty excited for to see what Wyatt can do. He looked a lot better than he did 2 years ago. So hasn't grown much, but he's definitely better.
Well, if there are any scouts listening, you know, Wyatt will give you his shirt number and, you know, the team he's on in the summertime, you can go scout him out.
No, I'm telling you, this kid, Aiden, that I've coached, he's now in middle school. He's the kid. I'm telling you, this kid's going somewhere in baseball. I really think he is. I mean, he's just that. He's good at every position.
1%.
And he's just
1% in New England.
And he's such, it's his whole life. You know, his whole life is baseball. He just lives and dies, practices, watches videos, and he's good.
Cool.
And he's not even a big kid. I can't even have a catch with him anymore. It hurts. Throws too hard. And when he wants to do a long toss, I can't reach him anymore. I'm like, you little, I go, I've taught you how to throw, god damn it. Now I can't even throw to you.
There it goes, man. There it goes.
Yeah, so it's all good.
Cool. So
that's
good. Yeah, ham radio for me. I don't know. We had a couple of days ago a high wind storm, and I haven't gone out to check out my antenna, but I went to go do FT8 like yesterday, and my SWR is like 2.3 to 1, and my antenna keeps reporting my reflected power is 120 watts, which my radio only does 100. So yeah, there's something wrong with the antenna. I just have to go out and figure it out. So
that wind gave you some amplification.
It must have done something, man. I don't know. I'm afraid to go out there and take a look, but I'll have to go tomorrow.
No, that wind, man. I don't know where if you guys were outside, but that was Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Is that the day you're talking about?
Yep.
So I was at court 3/4 of the day, or all day, basically 8:15 to 3:45. I had a little break. I went to quickly to see a parent at their home for like 10 minutes, and I went to get gas. When I got to the gas station, I tried to open up my Jeep door, and I couldn't open it. I'm like, I unlocked it. I'm like, it's unlocked. And the wind was blowing so hard that it was like I had to like use all my strength just to get the door open. And as soon as I got out, as soon as I let go of the thing, slammed shut, and the trees, I thought they were going to crack. I was like, holy shit. I mean, this is the windiest I've ever seen it.
Totally.
I was like, am I in a microburst or something?
Felt but like
it was definitely windy that day.
Totally. Yeah, so
crazy windy.
I haven't checked my antenna. We'll figure it out. You know, I'll have to do that tomorrow. But
I was worried that my antenna was down after I got the gas. I was like, oh shit, my antenna's probably laying across the driveway. But it survived.
Yeah, hey, good. Yeah, it was better with the fact that we launched that damn thing so far up the tree. It, you know, the tree's gonna have to come down before the antenna does. Yeah,
well, let's hope.
So outside of that, yeah, I was gonna try to play a little HF, but I end up basically just trying to, you know, get a few other things situated. I got a bunch of videos that I've been trying to put out. If you haven't paid attention, I finally got some of my other videos released on my HF install. So the grounding bonding stuff, the HF radio install, all those are kind of coming out. So I'm trying to get those out the door. And on top of it, I'm also, you can't see it behind me because my green screen, but in essence, I'm working on my ultimate battery box, you know, so that one should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to putting that together. So a lot of good stuff, but, you know, work is also getting in the way. Damn work. You know, it's all I want to do is ham radio. Come on. I can only make it a full-time job.
Well, if we get more Patreon members, yeah, maybe we want to.
You heard it
work
here. Come on. Let's go. Come on. We've got two big funding opportunities. Oh, and actually, we forgot to bring that to the attention, and that is my fault. Dude, if you want to help Paul, you know, get to his skydiving class A, in our show notes, there'll be his link for being able to donate to his GoFundMe. Go over there and help him out, because we're hoping, you know, in May, was it May time frame, May or June, when you going?
June.
Okay, so in June. We are going to be there, bated breath, watching him go through all of those, you know, jumps he needs to be able to get his Class A license. So, you know, we'll hopefully, you know, even have a camera, you know, I don't know, whatever. I'm just going to, like, if Todd shows up a little late, we might have to record it anyway. So, you know, all good.
Yeah, 25 jumps.
Whew, wow. That'll go fast, though.
I did show up, though.
You did. Yeah, I did.
I left as soon as you, I was on the thing. I mean, you're like, oh, he's just doing the briefing. Yeah, I was like, oh, I got plenty of time. There he
is. That's what we all thought.
Bumping his ass on the ground. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yep. He was totally fast, so. Cool. All right. Well, let's kind of kick this in here. We've been going a little long tonight, but that's totally fine. It's always been fun. And we've been going off the track so many times, I lost count. So, you know, we're kind of going to talk about some of the winter, you know, pitfalls in ham radio. You know, for those, you know, that live in an actual state that sees snow and cold, you know, and we're not finger pointing to anybody specific, you know, so if you're a listener in those states,
Texas,
you know, we won't say who it is, but, you know, they're 30 degree weathers that they complain about. Please come on. You know, it's nothing here. It's the old here, hold my beer, you know, routine. But, you know, we all run into the pitfalls. I mean, we all, if you just kind of came out of Winterfield Day, you know, a couple of weeks now into it, you've kind of been rethinking about, you know, all the great things that happened, all the bad things, you know, you need to work on and improve on. But, you know, we all, you know, have to deal with this weather. We all have to deal with the cold. We have to deal with, you know, the chilly temperatures, you know, and it affects a lot of our antennas, our radios, our, you know, equipment, all of that type of stuff. I mean, Paul and I were talking offline here, even like if you got a chance to say, check out Kevin's video, KL7EC's Winterfield Day video, the freaking snow toppled his hex beam, his buddy pole hex beam, bent the damn thing in half. I mean, I went back and watched that and cried.
Mast.
Cried. I mean, that was painful.
From the snow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
was it sticking to it?
The whole mast snapped.
Was it sticking to it?
The antenna had no problems. It was the middle of the mast that broke. Like, they couldn't figure out why. Like, it broke in between the two guy wires.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It was, like, very odd. But they got, like, 24 inches of snow. I mean, yeah, there was snow on the antenna, but, like, the mast just did not like it and snapped in half. And so, you know, after shedding a few tears, it kind of got me thinking. I'm like, I'm not putting my hex beam out in the middle of winter ever. But, you know, like I said, we kind of talked a little bit left and right about the idea of like, hey, what have we been struggling with? I know Paul's obviously, he's got a new camper in his life. And so he's thinking batteries and all that other stuff. And Paul and I, and Todd and I have been just kind of like, you know, doing a little bit of activations here and there. And we, like I said, just came off a Winterfield Day. And so we all know, and it's fresh in our minds, you know, what those things can do, that weather that can affect all of our equipment. So we want to kind of share some of the stuff that we deal with and we combat and come up with some, you know, maybe some solutions that kind of help you guys. So, you know, where do we want to start, guys? I mean, this is like kind of one of those things that we could, you know, start from the top down, maybe work from antennas down, you know, to the radios, or, you know, is there area that we want to kind of focus on first that just really pisses you off the most that you've maybe solved or still need to solve?
I'd say batteries. Mm-hmm. You got to keep those batteries warm.
I would say we should finish with batteries because batteries is going to be like the bulk, I think.
Yeah.
But like, all right, so I'll give you a perfect example. Winter Field Day, right? When I left my house to head to the Winter Field Day location, I think it was 9 degrees or around there. And then as I'm driving, I'm filming myself and it's like, all right, well, we warmed up. It's 12 degrees now. So I keep, the this side of the radio 7300 in an Apache case. And when I took it out of the Apache case in the tent, it was covered in ice.
What? Wow.
Like the radio was so cold that the screen literally had ice crystals on it. And like the top of the radio had ice crystals on it. So obviously my first concern was moisture.
Yeah.
Right. Because I had the buddy heater going in the tent. And so, you know, I'm like, wow, this is not going to be good because this moisture from the ice is going to melt and go down in the radio. But I keep microfiber cloths in my like camping gear. Yep. So I gave it a good wipe down with microfiber cloths. And, once I powered it up, and things warmed up. The radio performed fine. But, it's just, it's one of those things that we have to constantly be hyper-vigilant in these cold temperatures about how, you know, the ice is going to affect our radios, our microphones, our tuner, if you're using a tuner, everything becomes so much harder in these cold temperatures. Yeah.
Propane.
Yeah, well, and even that, so the one downside with the buddy heaters is because you're burning propane in technically an enclosed environment, it releases condensation. It puts moisture in the air. And so then that moisture builds up on whatever you're inside and it freezes. And then you've got ice crystals that, will flake off if you rub the walls too hard. And mm-hmm. then you've got ice crystals all over all of your equipment, your laptop and everything else. So, yeah, you really, really have to be hypervigilant in these cold temperatures about making sure that your gear stays dry.
So what you're saying is grandma should knit you a nice, warm, sweater for your radio.
Yes. Yes. A crocheted sweater would be great, preferably with an Oscar the Grouch on it. That would be wonderful.
So I noticed, when I was in your hut there, it was hot. It was cold outside, but it was hot. Like I had to take my jacket off and hat and gloves and mm-hmm. yeah, it was hot.
Yeah.
But I noticed like if you opened up your little vents and you got a little bit of that cold air in there, it took some of that humidity out.
Right.
And yes. it still kept you hot, even though you're losing heat, but it at least dried. It didn't feel as moisture-y, like humid.
Yeah, not humid.
It took the humidity out. So I think that's a good way to do it too. It's kind of like, driving in a car. Sometimes you drive in a car and the condensation comes up in the cold, and then, or if you got the AC on in the summertime and it gets too hot outside, and it's kind of like the same way. If you open up the windows to neutralize it a little bit, it'll work. So that seemed to work because I was getting hot, but I started seeing I could tell it was getting a little on the computer. It was getting a little moist, right?
Getting a white film.
So I opened up that little, there's a little triangle window, and I opened it up just to get some cool air in, and it dried it right up. So, because that's all dry air coming in here. So it offsets it. So
there's nothing, no moisture in that air whatsoever at that level.
But I'll tell you, dude, people complain and say Winter Field Day, oh, it's so cold. Well, the way Paul had it set up, man, I could have been out there in a t-shirt. It was that warm in there. It was awesome. Yeah,
We've been very lucky and very blessed and very like spoiled. So if Paul ever decides to pack up ship and go home, we're all screwed. I'd have to say in terms of like Winterfield days of the it'll be the ice ages if we go back to the old world.
well, Tim was in a he was in a regular tent,
but
like just a tent.
Yeah. But he's.
But what? How is a tent?
Yeah, but have you been in it? Like, were you in his tent through most of the day? Yeah, okay, it was pretty warm. It was pretty. I mean, it was. Yeah, all the heat was escaping.
It wasn't like Paul.
But
yeah, it wasn't as warm.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was still. You need to wear your jacket.
It makes a difference having an insulated tent.
But it's huge. It's difference. Like buying a house with single pane glass and a house with triple pane. It's like you're just blowing all the heat right out the side of the tent. So yeah, I totally understand. I mean, Tim had his propane tanks were literally like the ones you see that like are like full like fuel stations that are 3/4 tall. Like I mean, it was insane how much propane he had in his tent. It was more than enough.
And his buddy heater is double the size of
I know,
mine.
Right? He was putting out a lot of BTUs in that tent. I would not want to be sitting next to him. So radios.
I gave him my carbon monoxide detector for the night.
Which, mind you, does not detect carbon monoxide. It picks up RF only.
Dude, I sent them an email and they never got back to me. I might just return the thing.
So explain the situation. We were sitting around the fire.
So I got this little portable carbon monoxide. It got good reviews. I figured, okay, I'm going to be in these tents with these propane heaters. And when I went to look at one of the propane heaters, I'm like, I can't believe these things are like safe indoors. It's just crazy. Like you're always told, don't use propane heaters indoor or whatever. So I looked in the box and the very fine print, it says safe for indoors, except California and Massachusetts. Sure. So because there's an exception there. And even though those two states are a little out there, I'm like, all right, I better get one of these things. So I had it, and it didn't go off, but it did go off when I transmitted.
Put it right next to his radio.
And it went off. Yeah, like literally, and it started beeping. And you'd watch it, like you transmit on my HT, and all of a sudden it'd be like, red. But all next thing you know, it's beeping. So I was like, what the hell, my radio is giving off carbon monoxide when you transmit? So
yeah.
I went over to Tim's the next day. I went over to Tim and I watched him do CW, and he had it like sitting there on the table, and he starts doing the CW and the thing starts going off again. So I don't know what that sensor does, but it sure as hell isn't doing carbon monoxide. It's doing like RF or something.
Only.
Maybe they set the wrong one.
I can only imagine.
So anyway, but I got to test it. I got to go. I think I'm going to go out and do my next time I use my grill and stick it like near the grill, because that thing gives off
a lot of CO.
If it doesn't do anything, I'll be like, things junk.
About RF. So, all right. So we've got obviously condensation with the radios. And so from your standpoint, Paul, how bad, like, did it finally thaw out and you have any electrical issues with it, or just kind of just all good?
No, it's all good. Yeah. I think had I not taken the microfiber and wiped all the ice crystals off, then I could have potentially had issues, but it's one of those things. Like,
did you have it in your truck overnight?
Oh yeah.
Radio?
Yeah. I packed up the night before. Now mind you though. Okay. So that particular radio lives in the Apache case, typically out in my shed.
Okay.
And so like, I mean, as cold as it gets cold.
Yeah.
And we've had numerous nights where it's been down in single digits. Right.
Like, I'm surprised they got moisture in there, because those things are pretty well sealed, aren't they? The Apache cases?
They are, but
like I've had
like most.
Well, I've had sometimes like I gotta like it pops open, like it's like almost like a suction seal.
Sure, but like you would figure electronics in general, metal and LCD screens, all of those components do not adjust well to like fluctuate, like drastic fluctuating temperatures, and they're going to definitely create some condensation or some level of water and whatever it might be. But I see it a lot, like in server rooms where like the someone screws around with the AC unit and the AC unit's like putting out like negative way below like 32, almost at the freezing level, and you know, servers are like, what the hell's going on? Because they're also running water through, you know, their complex systems. And yeah, it can get very hairy fast when stuff like that doesn't have like simple glycol in it to keep the water from freezing and whatever. So yeah, not surprising, but good that, you know, you were able to fight beyond that. So I guess from a standpoint of like any of your other electronics, I mean, you mentioned your laptop too, right? That's had the same similar issue.
Yeah, well, so the laptop was just picking up the moisture from the air, and you know, and then it was forming crystals on the screen.
Right.
You know, of course, like, you know, we had the window open next to the computer and the radio, so we had the cold air coming in, but yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I mean, just. A microfiber cloth is what saved the day.
Like, yep.
Just throw a microfiber cloth in your gear. Like, you know, yeah, be proactive about it. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah. And
get them. They're dirt cheap at Harbor Freight. Oh, yeah. I got tons of them all over the place.
Well, and the other thing too is like acclimation is a big thing with a lot of electronics in general. So like when you, you know, if you're going from one extreme to another extreme, it's always best to like slowly introduce like that stuff. And it's always tough, especially when you're doing ham radio, because you want to get on the freaking air as fast as you possibly can. So, you know, you're never going to be like, okay, I've got 45 minutes to let this case warm up to the room, you know, current, you know, tent temperature, and then I can open it up. And then, you know, it's always tough, but like Paul said, that the quick, easy fix, just make sure you got a microfiber and wipe the damn thing down before you even power it on. So you don't, you know, you don't cause any issues for yourself,
yes.
Which is always people a lot of forget. It's like, oh, I, you know, I got a micro tire. I'll wipe it down while it's powering up. It'll heat up and it'll melt the water away. I'm like, electronics will behave fine in water, but they're not great for water a lot of times. So think about that, especially radios. Okay. Well, so condensation is a big thing. And so your tent, I mean, just from an outside standpoint, you were operating what around like 70, 75 usually, did you think around, give or take?
Yes. The temperature inside the tent fluctuated between. So, all right. At the gear height, mm-hmm. Right. So at the top of the table, between 68 and 75. You know, obviously the roof area was considerably warmer.
Yeah, I know.
And then under the table was a little bit cooler, but yeah. So, but I keep an inside outside thermometer anytime that we do like any winter field days or any of those things. Yep. And so, you know, it's just a cheapy, and I keep this next to the radio. So that way I know, all right, what's my indoor temperature? What's my humidity? And then what's the outside temperature?
Okay. Yeah. Good tips there. So, okay. So yeah, keep your gear dry, keep your, you know, laptops, your, you know, pens, paper, desk surfaces, all that kind of stuff as best as you can. And acclimating it before you actually start using it is always a big pro. The other side to that coin is if you're not in a hot tent or you're not in a tent that's got a lot of heat, don't just immediately, you know, kind of expect your gear to just start up because it's already in a cold kind of state. You know, it'll maintain the same temperature that it is outside ambient wise, but in terms of getting your equipment up, you know, still spend a little bit of time making sure, you know, you put the efforts forth to, you know, letting it, you know, warm up to its environment, that whatever it is, even if it's cold. You know, you get better life out of the device because capacitors and all that stuff have a comfortable operating temp, but at the same time, you know, extremes on either side will basically shorten the life of that stuff. And, you know, we'll touch base on batteries in a second on all that stuff, but,
yeah. And those LCD screens in the cold, like they really, really don't like to work in the cold.
They will not because, they have not. LCDs, if you understand the technology behind them, the panels and the touch layers and everything, all of that has to heat up. And, you know, you're going to, like, it takes anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes for that layer to actually be enough to be able to detect the electricity in your fingers, you know, and create that, you know, the gap. So, you know, don't expect.
I wonder, do you have the 400, Yaesu 400 in your car, Paul?
Yep.
Does that affect it when your car is cold? The touchscreen on it?
I don't use the touchscreen hardly at all. So I've never noticed it because I do everything from the buttons on the microphone.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. But I mean, I know like my touchscreen on the Jeep, on the radio. Yeah, I've never noticed a problem, even when it's like I leave the Jeep outside and it's like freezing. And, you know, it still works.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those like smaller displays, they don't. It's a surface area, so the larger screens take a little longer for it to get warmer, and you know all of those components. Yeah. So yeah, the smaller screens. My 300, you know, it's not a touchscreen, so it wouldn't make any big difference. But response time tends to be pretty good when you know it gets power. But yeah, cold can screw a lot of those screens, and so you know, be careful because in essence, you know, an LCD screen to get replaced ain't cheap. So, you know, you do not want to be losing your, you know, your radio there, especially if you got a good HF radio that has a lot of touchscreen functionality. You don't want to be screwed, you know, in the long run when you bring it back home. And actually, that's a good point, is that when you bring your gear home, let it sit out in the house for a couple of days just to like get used to the temperature before you even start touching it, because a lot of times you can add, you know, problems and issues to that equipment because, you know, it hasn't adjusted to the air, it hasn't dried out, you know, all of that kind of stuff. The other thing we didn't mention that I was thinking of, and we all have it, is the desiccant. Anybody get any of the little desiccant packets? I usually throw one or two of those in my, boxes and just let them stay in there. A lot of times people throw them away because they're like, oh, you forgot to take this out and chuck it, you know. But in essence, those are really good for being able to, like, you know, clear up a lot of that moisture stuff and you know, stop, you know, any of that from forming from the beginning. So, you know, if you got those, definitely keep those in your kit, as Paul was alluding to with the microfiber towels.
Well, that's a great idea because for those of you that are like me that have hearing aids provided by the VA, you get
moisture,
free desiccant packs for your hearing aids.
Cool.
And so, yeah, just request an extra, you know, set, and then throw the desiccant packs and all your stuff.
You stick them in your underwear; the they're really comfortable too. You know,
yeah, they paid for everything else. Might as well pay for those too. Right?
You're gonna buy the box with the VA. I'm sure they'll be happy to give all that stuff away. Nobody wants them. Cool. All right. Well, so radio is obviously a big thing. So if we kind of step up the chain there a little bit, you know, let's kind of talk, you know, feed lines, antennas, that type of stuff, because we all know coax can get freaking stiff in the wintertime. Any tips or tricks around, you know, that to get your coax back in line? What works for you guys?
Let it warm up in the if you've got a heater. Mm-hmm. Right. You've got a heated area, let it warm up, let it, you know, stretch it out in the heated area and then take it out and drag it through the snow.
Right.
I haven't noticed any issues with like when we did Pac-Manadoc, I had a ton of snow in the BNC connector and like I blew it out, but I mean, there was still a ton of moisture in there when I connected it. Worked all right.
Yeah. We didn't have any problems with it. Yeah.
You know, winter field day. I mean, I ran the coax from the inside out. And so I literally pushed the PL 239 right through the snow and I packed all the snow into it. Yep. It seemed fine when I connected it up to the antenna. So I would more aptly say like that. That's a less of a concern, you know, obviously let your antenna wire warm up, let your coax warm up. But as far as like moisture in your connections, I wouldn't sweat it.
It's not so much the moisture in the actual physical external connection. It's the moisture in the inside of the jacket that, you know, kind of corrodes all of the inner jacket and that type of stuff. That's where you start to like really start to worry. Like, okay, at this point, I got to cut the end off and put a new one on. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the most of that stuff's pretty well sealed.
That's where the Vaseline comes in handy.
Really? In that point? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Vaseline.
So, any tips there, Todd, for you? You're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, I'm on the same page.
Okay. All right. Well, now our antennas. I mean, obviously, we didn't have the problems with our winter field there, and just in general. I mean, I don't usually go out and activate if there's an impending snowstorm coming. We've alluded to Jeremy KL7 EC's winter field day video that he ended up setting up a very expensive antenna out there and it toppled. But so Paul, I mean, you guys, we mostly ran wires on winter field day in general, or when you're outdoors, correct?
Actually, I think we all had wires. Yeah. I was running the Reliance Bug Out Mini. I believe Mark was running the Reliance Bug Out full size. And then whatever antenna that that Tim had was some kind of wire that like went up a tree and over to another tree and then over to another tree. And yes, that's it. Yeah. The MCOM. Yep. That's what he was using.
Cool.
So yes, we were all using wires.
So yeah, ultimately we probably don't have too much. The only thing I would say with wires is that, cold weather and stretch with that type of wire, especially if you're running something as like 16 or 18 gauge, it won't easily stretch back a lot of times. So just keep that in mind. Don't pull very hard on any of those wires because you might snap a wire more easily than you would say in something warmer where it might be a little bit of a give there. So always good there. And
yeah. And a big word of advice is, say you've got your antenna up and in the time that you have been there operating, however long that is, your antenna builds up any type of ice on it. Mm-hmm. And you go to stow your antenna and wrap it around your winder and it's all covered in ice.
Okay.
Do yourself a favor and don't wrap it around the winder. Just ball it up and throw it on the floor of your truck and let it sit there under the heat.
Good point.
Once it's warm and all the ice is melted off it, then take it out and wrap it around your winder.
Yeah. Good idea.
Because otherwise you're just going to ruin the freaking wire.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll stretch it all out and it'll lose its elasticity, especially with a lot of silicone wires and stuff. So, all right. Well, so yeah, if you run a verticals, if you were unfortunate, like Kevin did, what Jeremy did with his, a hex where it snapped it, it also destroyed, I guess, a couple of his elements. So that, that kind of stinks in terms of plastic, but plastic antennas in general, no matter what type of plastic you're running, it gets brittle after a while. And so you got to pay attention to kind of that stuff. Don't always overextend your masts as a big thing. Like I'm a big offender of that. Like when I have my 10 meter mast and I'm like using it outdoors, if the weather's pretty cold, I'm not throwing it up, at full strength and full extension because, the cold weather's just going to eventually just make that plastic or the material brittle enough that, one good, smack on the ground or, a topple accidentally or whatever, just basically snap the thing in half and you'll break a section of it or whatever. So, always treat some of that stuff in very cold temperatures that, very delicately for sure. So, have you had any,
I think,
go ahead, Todd.
No, I mean, up here, at least in New Hampshire, I mean, in New England, I think in general, we have such a flux in temperatures. Like, I wake up this morning, it's -9 and like tomorrow it'll probably be 40, and that's a huge thing, especially if you're doing a field day and you've got, if you start off real cold then it might get real warm, et cetera, things can change rapidly around here. So I think you just got to be wary of the weather. And I like your idea, Paul, of having the indoor outdoor temperature and the humidity. That way, if you've been in there a long time, you may not realize how humid it's getting in there, especially if you've been in there for a while. So yep. having that there would actually give you a little heads up, like, hey, it's getting a little too humid in here, and open up those windows or even the door to get some cool air in. And it's not like it doesn't take long to heat that place up either. I mean, you crank that heat up, it heats up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think I put it on high for maybe 20 or 30 minutes when I was doing my live stream Saturday night. Yeah. But I mean, by that point, it was, like 11, 12 degrees outside. The wind was whipping.
Yeah.
So like I've got vents in the top of the ice house, and you could feel the wind blasting through those vents. But I think the big thing with antennas, anyways, is making sure that you're not stowing them, you're not putting them away cold.
Right.
Because that wire, it does not like to be cold. And, you know, Jeremy, KL7EC, right, when his antenna broke, what was it that saved his skin? Oh, it was that old redundancy factor. Because two is one and one is none. So you always have at least one backup antenna, if not a couple.
Yep.
And yeah, that's how I am. You know, anybody that goes out with me knows, like, yeah, I'm going to have my go-to antenna, but I'm also going to have my antenna bag. And my antenna bag is going to have my full woofer recoil. It's going to have the full M-Pass 2.0. It's got numerous different options for configurations and whatnot.
Right.
Because yeah, you never know, like, what happens if your antenna fails.
Yep.
Right.
Well, and you only need, you know, like one time in your life to realize that the one antenna you bring, it fails, then you get no play radio. It's simple as that. So it's like, you learn very quickly from that lesson, which I find a lot of people all share. It's kind of like a, you know, earning your stripes. But yeah, so we've got, I mean, obviously we cover some of that stuff. I mean, when it comes to, you know, the typical, I mean, I don't think we really need to mention in terms of like your cold weather gear. And I know a lot of the folks in Texas don't have anything except a sweater. But, you know, you got to learn to layer. And just like, you know, you layer your radio gear, you layer all your backups to your backups. Same thing goes for, you know, you being comfortable
I can tell you right now, I got some battery powered ham warmers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they suck. They don't work. not in 9 degree weather. They don't work. No. I was like, are these things even on?
I will tell you, I will forever highly recommend the Zippo ones.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. What? Definitely. I have two of them, and when I go out on, you know, like single digit kind of days, right? Ice fish or whatever. I'll fill them. And you light it, you let it burn out, and it's a little tiny piece of char cloth on the top that continues to burn and produce heat, and it'll go for like 8 hours.
You put it in your pocket. You don't have to worry about catching on fire. It just keeps burning.
Paul's still here, so it must work.
No, let me grab one. So so these things, they're not very expensive. They're made by Zippo. But it's a little metal case, and you take the top off the case. And so this is your char
wick, flint, yeah, right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so you take it off and you fill it with fluid.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, obviously you don't want to overfill it, because if you overfill it, it's just going to be a giant flame on you. You just want the center part to burn.
Yeah.
And once it's burning, yeah, you put the top on and you put it in a little bag and you stick it in your pocket, and you're good for 8 hours. Yeah. It'll stay hot for 8 hours.
Like the good old bedpans of the 1820s.
You put it in the bag. You put it in the bag.
Yeah. Yep. Put it just put like it in that. The bag. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I looked on, they're on Amazon. They're $20.
There you go.
Yeah.
Helping you spend your money.
Well worth the money. Yeah. I mean, the ones that I have, like I said, I have two of them. I've had them for well over 10 years.
Sir,
they still work.
Here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper and I will pay it.
There we go.
Do you have to, replace that flint stuff?
No, there's no flint.
No.
Well, you said
you just fill it with fluid and you light it with a lighter.
Oh, there's no wick or anything. There, no.
It's just pulling, you know, from the fluid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's essentially all wick, but yeah. So the base you fill up with fluid, and I don't know if you can see, but it's got cotton in it.
Yeah. You have to replace that or no?
Nope. And then you can see the little carbon on the inside. And so that is what burns, and it never like fully burns. It just, it'll have red embers on it.
Right.
Right.
And that's what produces your heat. It'll slowly wick the fluid up and it'll continuously burn for about 8 hours.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
There you go.
And they last forever. Like I said, I mean, I've had mine for over 10 years.
And it's been going since he first started it.
the battery ones I don't recommend because I mean, I think they'll be all right. Like if it was like 30 degrees out and you want a little warm, but I couldn't feel the freaking things. I had them in my pockets on high and I put my hands in the pockets. I'm like, oh shit, did they turn off? And I looked at them. Nope, they're on high.
Well, that's a good segue. So batteries suck cold weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do batteries work when they get cold?
They don't.
How is that, Todd?
Yeah, they don't. I crashed my favorite plane today because of freaking batteries. Yeah, it was so cold. I kept the batteries warm. I thought I did. I kept them in the car. And, they're older batteries, so I should have known. But I was like, they still look good. I tested them. Everything looked good on them. I put it on the plane, full throttled up, had power. I take off. I got no power. I mean, the thing is literally like barely getting off the ground, and I got it above the trees, barely turned around, and I landed. And I said, "All right, I'll get another battery." I got another battery, which was newer, and I thought better, and it was actually worse. And I took off, and as soon as I took off, I said, "Oh, this is fucked up." So I tried to land, and my ski got stuck in a rut. And the snow was like ice because it's so freaking cold, and ripped the whole landing gear right off the balsa, the whole thing just ripped right off. I was like, you got to be shitting me. Wow. So it cut my day short. But yeah, those are LiPo batteries. But I mean, Lifey's LiPo batteries, if they get cold, they just don't like the cold, especially when it gets like 0, 10 degrees, even like 20 degrees. You got to keep them warm to work. And they do lose their capacity, because in the warm weather, I'll fly a plane, say 8 minutes, and in the cold weather, they'll last 4.
Yeah.
Like almost 50% difference, even though they're fully charged. So, and they also don't like heat. So you can't get them too hot. You can't let them bake in the sun.
Right.
They don't work either. So they're very sensitive, these batteries.
Well, we'll worry about that in July.
I know, right? We'll revisit that topic again.
in Summerfield, they're like,
oh, although I don't ever recall any of us ever complaining in summertime about our battery issues. It's always the conditions of the bands. It's never the batteries.
Yeah. Well, you know, something I was thinking about is like, you know, if you put your bat in like a felt bag or a towel or something, and you threw some of those, those instant heat things, you know, the hand warmers. Yep. If it was that cold out and you kept the thing wrapped and you had that heat going in, it might keep it warmer. But like your situation, I mean, you had the batteries and everything in your tent. You didn't need to worry about that. But like if you were like outside trying to do ham radio and it's 10 degrees for some reason, you didn't have, like you're in a lean tomb or something and you didn't have, you know, you're getting a cold air and you didn't have a lot of heat. I think those batteries are seriously going to die on you if you keep them cold. Even like an HT, I bet you if you leave an HT out in the cold, it's going to start draining battery quicker than you're using it. So
yeah, I agree.
So I'll tell you, so a little bit of experience at Fort Drum in January. I was doing military training at the time, but it was negative 55 with a wind chill. Ooh, and so but here's the solution, right? Now we layer very, very well, right? You get a good base layer, then you know, several other layers, and then you've got your bear suit on the outside. You take your batteries and you put your batteries in under your armpits,
yep, or your stomach,
to keep your batteries warm. Because if your batteries are in tight to your body, you'll keep your batteries warm, and they're not going to deplete your core temperature enough to make a difference. But then when you need them for like your night vision or, you know, whatever it is that you're using, you know, you're taking it out and you're putting it in a cold device, but at least the battery has some warmth to it. Right. So it'll last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing with LiPos, Lifeys, all of those things is that as I'm doing a battery box build, the one thing that's sitting in the back of my head is I got a 100 amp hour that I bought Redodo and got a freaking sweet deal on it. But of course, just as I bought the battery, the next one came out with another offer, which had the heating element in it. I'm just like, oh, man, do I want the heating element? And so it kind of got me down the research.
You do.
The long run, yes, I do.
You do.
But so it got me thinking, because there's actually some components out there that I can include in my design for my battery box that allows me to manipulate the actual temperature inside the battery box. Because the battery canister that I have is not thin plastic. It's actually got pretty thick, you know, walled plastic. So in essence, there's a little bit of an insulating barrier in there, but it's not like super, you know, it's not going to maintain or keep the maintain. Well, although
you should have insulated the inside before you started building.
Yeah. Well, the only problem with that is I'd lose a lot of, you know, actual space to, you know, put components in, but you know, so there are actually like thin blankets that you can get that will allow you to mount to your batteries that will maintain at least the battery temperature above, you know, freezing. So, you know, that's really what it is like, the batteries themselves, if they go below 32, then they start to lose any of their voltage at, you know, like you already found out, Todd, you know, half of the voltage automatically. And then it's always harder to charge those batteries back up to get them up to the full voltage again in the same temperature. So having that little battery blanket or whatever they call it, you know, is something I'm thinking about as an option to add. But yeah, I really think, you know, battery circuitry is going to start to see more and more of the, you know, the inside heating components built in, you know, as a need, especially up in this, you know, kind of neck of the woods.
Well, if there's a way to insulate the battery, because the batteries produce heat.
They do.
Like sometimes if I'm flying hard with the LiPos, those things come out. They're warm. They're like hand warmers.
Yeah.
And but they don't get like that in the winter, only in the summer. Sure. But if you crank them out, they'll be warm. So if there's a way to keep that heat insulated, you could put it in something just to keep the heat, like in a bag or something. But
so you got me thinking a little bit, Eric, right? So I know with the Panasonic Toughbook, mm-hmm. at least the model that I have, the CF31, it actually has a hard drive warmer.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's a bit of copper that wraps around the hard drive enclosure. And when the computer powers on, it heats through that copper film. Yep. And so that would be an interesting thing to come up with inside of a battery box, is the ability to have like a battery heater that you could turn on or turn off.
Yeah. The ones I've been seeing are like battery blankets. Literally they're small, like it almost looks like an asbestos style blanket that you just affix to the bag.
Yeah. Wool or whatever.
Yeah, it's got copper, basically a stitch. It's almost like kind of looking at the same stuff that we've seen that we create the magic carpet for when we're looking for, what am I thinking of the stuff?
Faraday cloth.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, but the copper elements are a little thicker in them. But you know, it's kind of that, you know, that premise and that model, but yeah, I prefer to have it inside the battery now more than having it on, you know, one more thing on the outside, because, you know, when we get to summer, it's like now I have to take it out of it because I don't want to generate more freaking heat in the thing, you know, not that it would kick in, but, you know, it's just one more thing now that I have to create a circuit for. So, yeah, it's, you know, whatever. You build, and the nice part about the way I built it is that I can pull that battery out, give it, you know, sell it off, you know, and then go buy the one I want and put it back in there. And all I have to do is hook up two wires and I'm off to the races. So, you know, I think I probably will be doing that after I field test it next winter field day, whenever that.
All right. Well, now I have to ask, all right, what's the battery that you've got in there that you might be looking to get rid of?
Rododo 100 amp hour.
Done.
Okay. All right.
Easy. That's the new battery for the trailer that I've been looking for. Well,
there you go. It's sold.
There we go. All right. Done.
Sold. Okay. Solved. So yeah, we'll talk. So yeah, I mean, batteries suck. I mean, especially in our conditions that we have. I mean, we don't have the benefits or the luxuries of the folks that have temperatures that stay between 30 and 55, which is comfortable. But you know, when you get up this way, it's always a challenge for sure to be able to deal with it. And hopefully, I think, you know, as we get better with both the battery technology and that, you know, we get better in terms of how we build our stuff, that'll become less and less of a problem.
Right.
So, anything else we kind of missed?
Just suck it up and deal with the cold.
always double check your gear. Always make sure that you've got good layers, because it's easier to take layers off than it is to be cold and not have layers to put on.
True.
Right.
True that. That's a Boy Scout thing for me, for sure. Be prepared. many years on the Klondike Derby when I was a kid, and going, I didn't bring enough fucking layers. Freezing my ass off. I always hated cold weather, and it took me a long time to get around to liking field day, winter field day again. So, all good. Cool.
Change your socks.
Pretty much. Yeah. Now that's all I ever do. All right. Well, sounds like, there are definitely some good stuff. I'm sure everybody who's lived in New England has, faced this in some form or fashion. So, we'll throw it out to you. We'll post this up on the Discord, check out our show's channel. We want to hear from you guys. What things did we miss? What things can we improve upon? What have you learned out there while you're doing operating out in the field, whether it's Winterfield Day or just, you're doing a POTA or you're doing an activation? You could always, post it on the Discord, but as Paul's flashing down at the bottom of our screen there, please, send us an SMS text, send us a voicemail, we'll share it on the next episode. We'll do a little follow-up there as we can all learn from this, especially if you live up in the mighty New England area. We're all battling these temperatures and we're all dealing with the coldness. So let's all continue to have some great fun in ham radio. But do it dry, do it warm, do it, safely and, all the above. So, anything you guys want to throw in the last, that I might've missed, or, we can wrap things up tonight.
No, I think we're good. It's definitely a good topic for, this time of year.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. And it's not exclusive to New England, nope. Right? I mean, look at Minnesota. Oh,
God, yeah.
The Dakotas, right? Like that, Montana, Wyoming. I mean, there's a lot of states that experience a lot of really, really cold temperatures. Take care of your gear.
Yep.
Take care of yourself.
Words to live by, my friend. Words to live by. Awesome. All right. Well, as always, guys, it was great. And so we want to, guys, thank you again for joining and hanging out with the Live Free and Ham community. We all appreciate it and truly thank everyone who supports the show and who's involved, as we can't thank you guys enough. And so, as always, we always like to say, if you want to connect with us, you can always head over to our Discord server, join in the conversation. Our link is in the show notes. It's in the bottom of our website. If you email us and can't find it, we'll happily send it to you as well. And you can always subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I guarantee if you subscribe, and you'll be able to catch all the awesome excitement that's going on, content that's over there. As again, we are a weekly show now, so there's always something fun and interesting going on. You can always leave us a review using our SMS link located in the show notes, or you can leave us a voicemail at 978-233-1142. And finally, you can always support the show by joining our Patreon. And we have a bunch of our Patreon members. I don't know. Do we have a little footer there to roll the latest Patreons there? There we go. Cool. Well, you can always check out our Patreon links, and we will make sure that we continue as new people get added to our Patreon on a weekly basis. So we all appreciate you guys supporting the show, as it definitely helps us continue to do this because we're having fun. And we hope you are as well. And finally, you can always head over to livefreeandham.com to learn about the show. Check out our awesome swag. Don't forget, we got our latest stickers out there. And you can find all the host contact information there. And again, thanks for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.